Well, it's good to be back. The last time I was here was a little over 4 years ago when I was home on my last furlough. And a lot's happened in the last 4 years, and we'll go into that in the video. But just to give you a little background of who I am, my parents were missionaries in Japan. And I lived there all through, up until going into sixth grade. We came home on our second furlough. And we were getting ready to go back to Japan. But my youngest brother, there's six of us, and he was just a little baby when we went. And so he actually learned Japanese very well. And it kind of got all mixed up in his head, English and Japanese and everything. So when we had come back on that furlough, my parents, we were out in eastern Pennsylvania. They put us right away into Christian school, and they noticed that Joshua wasn't at the level he should have been. So long story short, my pastor talked to my dad and said, you know, need to help Josh, and so they put him in the Sylvan Learning Center, and my dad didn't know how long it would take. They had told my parents up to 4 years, so he thought, well, you know, we can't sit around a missionary sport for 4 years. So he had resigned from the mission board, and 18 months later, Josh was at the level he should have been. So my dad, we went back on deputation again. He had to re-raise all that support, and at that point, by the time they did finally raise the support, I had just graduated high school. So between high school and college, I went back for a year and then went off to Bible college and then went to Haiti first, and the Lord closed that door and he led me back to Japan. And so I've been on the mission field as a missionary for 8 years now in Japan. I went in 2010, February. So I'm heading back at the end of January. January 30th, I have my ticket, and so I will land in Japan on the 31st. And so, looking forward to that. But we're going to start the video, and there's two ladies in the video I really want you to pay attention to. One is Lisa. She's a young Japanese lady. For the past 4 years, I've been having an English Bible study with. And it started out with she wanted some help with an interview she was going to have in English, and she's really advancing in her field of therapy. And so, but that turned into a Bible study, and I'll kind of explain that in the video, but we are still continuing that on Skype. And so I'll follow up a little bit with that after the video. And one more lady, she's towards the end of the video. I didn't really mention her per se, I just used some of her pictures of her. But her name's Keen, and she's a Chinese lady, about 27 years old, and she's a friend that I started to get to know about two and a half years ago. And just out of a mutual need for friendship, she's a single girl trying to make it on her own in Japan, and the Lord brought her my way. And so she's holding a tray of cookies. So I just kind of want you to pay attention to her, and we'll get this started.
For the past 8 years, I have been serving in Nagoya, located in southern Japan. Though a bustling modern city with a population of over 2 million people, it is still completely steeped in idol worship. Japan, the land of 1 million gods, does not see its need for the God of the West. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory. It is exciting to share with you all what God has done in this past term. The last time I reported to you, we were doing a lot of planting of seeds. I am happy now that I can share with you some of what we are reaping. The Meltons and I were blessed with the addition of the Leone family to our missionary team as tent makers. John, Hitomi, and their three children have brought a whole new dimension to our ministry. One specific area is in our children's outreach. During my last furlough, I specifically asked you to pray that we would be able to start a children's program upon my return to Japan. The Leone's two oldest children have been our core group. A few months later, a large foster family began attending, which exploded our Sunday school. We went from 2 to 7 overnight. At the time, we were meeting at the Meltons' home, which wasn't ideal. Here in Japan, you must take off your shoes when you enter a church or a home. Imagine trying to get 7 or 8 children out the door. Shoes, coats, and all the stuff they bring with them each week. And then you have to take the shoes off again at the Meltons, and then after class, put the shoes back on again, and go over to the church to take your shoes back off again, so all the children could be with their parents. We were all very thankful that Tim was able to convert an office space into a classroom at the church. This foster family attending meant that I needed to start teaching in Japanese each week. With a lack of Japanese Sunday school curriculum, the Lord led me to create my own. While this was really challenging, it was also extremely exciting. I loved studying and preparing the lessons, and it was a thrill to teach each week. Sadly, a year later, the foster family chose to leave the church. Since then, we have seen 2 other Japanese children begin attending faithfully. During my absence, John and Hitomi will be leading the children's ministries. John would appreciate your prayers as he teaches Sunday school in Japanese each week. This is a challenging step in his language growth. Activity as an outreach to the community. Our goal in this outreach is to see these children begin coming to our Sunday school. We use various holidays or the seasons in our themed activities. Christmas, Easter, rainy season with Noah as the focus, the Olympics around the Japanese Sports Day. In the beginning, most of the children who attended had heard about the activities from invitations we had passed out. But now most of all the children who attend are coming because of relationships built by Hitomi or her children. Mother reaching mothers and children reaching children. Amen. We have seen a tremendous growth in our church, especially in the last few years. Tim has spent months teaching on the value and importance of church membership. This teaching helped 2 of our ladies realize their need to be biblically baptized. Praise the Lord that in 2017, church membership was established. It is difficult to get people to come to a church service for their first visit, so we often use different activities as a way to get people in the door. Every couple of months, we host a friend party and encourage our church people to personally invite their friends. This time of fellowship allows people to come into a more personal and non-threatening setting. This past summer, we had a missions team from one of the Meltons supporting churches. They provided some of the entertainment, and it was a big hit. We have been able to continue some of the relationships that started that evening. It is amazing how often conversations can turn to spiritual things at these activities. For the past 3 Christmases, we've hosted a cookie decorating event, which has always been well attended. We are able then to invite those that come to our children's Christmas party and the church's Christmas program. Recently, Kim hosted a tea party for our ladies and their friends as an outreach. Kim did a wonderful job, and it was a beautiful event where several unsaved heard the gospel. One of the biggest ministries in our church is our ladies group. We have a strong core group who study the Bible and minister together. Each month, we have a Japanese Bible study, which I lead, and twice a month, we have an English Bible study led by Kim. In the Japanese Bible study, we have studied God's character and the books of Proverbs and Nehemiah. In the English Bible study, Kim taught through God is More Than Enough, and we are currently studying the Renewing of the Mind Project. What a blessing to see our ladies growing in their knowledge of God and applying God's Word to their various trials. In 2015, Tim had hip replacement surgery, which required physical therapy. His therapist was a young lady by the name of Lisa. Lisa wanted some help for an interview that would need to be done in English. Because the Mountains were going on their furlough, I was asked if I could help her. After the study for the interview ended, Lisa still wanted to work on her English. We were discussing the options of what we would do when I asked her if there was a particular topic she would like to study. She asked me if I would share what I believe. Of course I would. This has turned into over 3 years of studying God's Word. With absolutely no biblical knowledge, I chose to take her through the Bible starting at the very beginning. Just before my furlough began, we started studying the book of Matthew. Our plan is to continue our studies on Skype while I'm in America. Another way I've tried to reach out to Lisa is to expose her to godly friends. She has enjoyed meeting friends and family who have come to visit me. Her work sent her to South Africa for a conference, and I was able to help her connect with missionary friends there who also had the opportunity to share the gospel with her. Lisa is very curious, and we've had several good discussions, but to date, she still has not realized her need for salvation. Part of my ministry is one-on-one Bible studies and discipleships with ladies. I continue a weekly Skype Bible study with Jenny, a Filipina, which I shared on my last furlough. I have a Japanese Bible study with an older lady at school in my home. I also do a discipleship with Kyoko in Japanese and with Rina, who is from India. This is why we have a dual-focused ministry here. Nagoya is one of the largest international cities in Japan, which allows us to have both a Japanese ministry and an international one. Hospitality is an important part of my ministry, and relationship building is a crucial part of outreach in Japan. I love using my home as a way to build relationships with others. One specific way I enjoy doing this is by having people over for a meal. This allows for a relaxed, casual atmosphere where we can easily chat, which often leads to talking about spiritual things. It has been my joy to share with you what God has been doing in Nagoya. And it is even more exciting to know that you, my faithful supporters, receive eternal rewards for your part in this ministry.
I'm just going to get that ready for the kids thing. But to follow up with Lisa, the lady with the English Bible study, not too long ago, a couple months ago, we got into the book of John, and we are towards the end. And a while back, and it's interesting because all we've been doing is literally just reading the Bible and explaining it, maybe those vocabulary words she didn't know, or her English is fairly good. And so, which makes it easy to have an English study like that. And at first, you could tell it was just, she's just getting information, oh, this is interesting. But I would say about a year ago, you could really start seeing it more from, this is interesting to, this might be true. And couple months ago, we were having a study, and in the book of John, and she said, because I always ask, do you have any questions? No, that's very interesting. And every once in a blue moon, I'll ask, do you want to still do this? Oh, yeah. And so she says to me one day, she goes, so those who believe in Jesus Christ have everlasting life. I said, yes. And those who do not believe in Jesus Christ don't have eternal life. I'm like, yes, and I'm sitting on the edge of my seat like, okay, where is this going to go? And she just goes, okay, I'm like, oh, Lord, do I say something? And at that point, the Lord is just, you know, just back off. And so we've had some very good discussions. She actually came to the States at the end of May, and she was coming to visit a friend, but she stopped off in the Pittsburgh area for 3 days. And she came to my church, and it was really neat. Just another opportunity to expose her to some of my Christian friends. She came to church for the first time, and she goes, I can see that this is, the Bible is very important. And so we are in our study last couple weeks because of her work situation, the things that were going on with me. We actually met this past week, but we didn't actually have the Bible study because her voice was still very broken up from a cold. So we are going to study again this Wednesday night, our time around 8:30, 9 o'clock. And we're right at the point, we're in the upper room in the book of John, and right where Judas has already left to go out and betray Christ and everything. I'm very excited to see what will happen at the resurrection and everything, if it'll all come together, because we started in Genesis, because it started out, well, what we were talking about, something about Israel, and I said how that all relates to us as Christians and everything, and that's kind of what got the ball rolling towards the Bible study. And when we got into Matthew and, you know, the genealogies, I was starting to point out people, and it all started to connect with her. And so just please pray one this Wednesday night. Typically, it's on my Wednesday night, her Thursday morning. And just pray that it will, the Holy Spirit will work. I believe she will get saved. I don't know when. My hope that she will get saved is, one, I believe the Lord is drawing her, but our church supports, our church in Japan supports two missionaries, two Japanese missionaries. One is, he's a doctor in Bangladesh, and another one is a single lady who's in her 70s in Senegal. Both of those have gotten saved through a study just like this. And so I'm not saying she's going to be going to the mission field somewhere, but that would be great. But the Lord can draw her through this. The other young lady I wanted to mention was Keen, my Chinese friend. And it was interesting. There was that, in the picture, there was that pizza party, and that's how our friendship really started, was that day. And we were talking about, oh, no, I wish we had somebody to go walking with in the evening. And we connected that way. And in the evenings, we'd get together after she was done work. I'd go meet her at the park, and we'd go walking. And as our friendship grew, one Saturday evening, she says, well, what are you doing tomorrow? Can we get together? I said, well, I have church. I can't, you know, I can't go. Well, why not? I said, well, I have responsibilities. And she was kind of pushing. And, well, what do you do that's so important at church? And I said, well, I have to teach the Sunday school. And at that time, we were doing the Japanese Sunday school and everything. Well, what do you teach? And our common language is Japanese. I said, well, can I practice my lesson on you for tomorrow? And each week, that's how it started. Witnessing to her was just practicing my next lesson on her. And, of course, that opened doors. And our last conversation we had, the Lord had allowed me to witness to her really in depth on two occasions. And the last one was right before I left for furlough in April. And she was struggling. She's a single girl trying to make it on her own in Japan in a culture where they have this concept of the nail that stands up the highest gets pounded down the hardest. And everybody thinks the Asian cultures are all similar. They're not. The Chinese culture in many ways is much like the American. Very outgoing. You make friends very easily. Where in Japan, it's very constrictive, and you just follow the rules, and if you don't follow the rules, and you're supposed to know these, all these unwritten rules, and so she was really struggling in that. And she was at my house probably a week before I left for furlough, and once again, just really struggling with the job she was in. And I said, you know, Keen, I can give you a lot of practical advice, But I said, the only thing that's really, truly going to help you in life is Jesus Christ. I said, you need hope. And I said, can I go through the plan of salvation with you one more time? She said, yes. So we talked, I mean, a good 3 hours. And in the end, it came down to, she said, Becca, I know you believe this. She goes, I know you believe this. She goes, I know you want me to believe this. She goes, I just don't. And I said, okay. I said, well, can I pray that you believe this one day? And she said, yeah. So I've been asking all my churches that I've been at and pray for Keen, K-I-N. And she has recently moved about a month and a half ago from our city to Tokyo to find a different job. And we've been staying in contact through texting and everything. And she, the last one she got, I said, how's things going in Tokyo? And she said, well, I haven't found any friends like you yet. And I said, well, I'll be praying that you find a friend. So pray that the Lord sends her a Christian friend. One that, because she said, she goes, I don't have any friends like you. I've never met a friend like you. And I know that's the Lord. It is. And so pray that the Lord will send her a Christian friend. If Christians are anywhere in Japan, they would be in the Tokyo area. So those are the two ladies, Lisa and Keen. And I don't want to keep eating up the time. I could keep talking more about the people in Japan. But if we want to do the kids thing, I don't know if you guys want to stay there or move over here closer.
You want to do a Q&A?
Oh, that's right.
First.
Thank you.
Anyway. We're enjoying this.
Okay, good. Any questions about the Japan, about the ministry? I'd be more than happy to answer any curious things that you might have? Yes, sir.
I know all your pictures, a lot of women, and I know it's because you're focused. Does it seem, though, that women are a little more open to talking and listening than men?
I believe so. I mean, I think that's universal. I've been talking to other missionary wives all around the world, South America, Australia. It is universal. Their churches are have more women than they do the men. Even our churches here in the States tend to have more women than the men. And so our church is definitely that way. So, but, you know, for me, it's a plus. A lot of women to work with, and a lot of international women, plus the Japanese ladies. So it is a very diverse ministry. It's been a lot of fun, though. Yes.
What is their national religion?
They do Buddhism and Shintoism. Now, Shintoism would be from way, 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 way back then. Buddhism has come from over from India way. But those two are the more predominant ones. In August, they have worship of the dead, their spirits of the dead. And so they light little fires. You saw in the one picture, there was a lady, a picture of her. She had passed. It, actually, my Filipina friend, it was her boss's mother. She's renting the house. And that shrine was in the house. And that's why I was able to get the picture. I was up visiting my friend Jenny. And so they do worship the dead and send the spirits back as they come to visit in August. They, on the shrines, they will have a cucumber with little stick legs, and that represents a horse. And then they will also have an eggplant with little stick legs, and that represents a cow. And so the spirits, they come back riding the cow or the eggplant, no, so the horse, because the cucumber, because it's faster, so they want to come back and visit. But when it's time to go back, when that time of worshiping the spirits is over, they ride the eggplant, the cow, because it takes it longer, you know, it takes it longer to get back. So, you know, we look at those things and go, this is silly. But that's really how Satan has blinded their eyes. And they grew up in it. And so, but it's been interesting with teaching Lisa, you know, in the beginning, going through the Old Testament, I'm like, oh, this sounds like a fairy tale, you know, but But it's truth. And so you just go with it. And I guess what I was trying to say, it sounds like that, but it's not. And God's is true. And the things that he's done in the Old Testament. And it's been interesting for her to really see that. So, yes, sir.
Do they take that seriously, or is it just kind of tradition? Where do they get that? Is there a book, or just is it all tradition?
They do go to the shrines. They do have teaching, as their family, they grow up learning those type of things. The ladies, the Japanese ladies that I've been able to talk to at church, they have said, you know, when they were a kid, they, you know, okay, this is what we're taught, this is what we do, kind of like Catholicism. This is what we're taught, this is what we do. But each one at some point in their life has thought, this doesn't make sense. And even my mom and dad were raised Catholic. And my mom would say that, it doesn't make sense. And when they came to Christ, that's what made sense. And in my last prayer letter, I mentioned two Japanese ladies that were going to come to visit. They came at the end of September and October. And those were two ladies that are in their 70s. And one lady is, I teach just a conversational English class. And she and another lady that I teach, but we've talked a lot. One is definitely more staunch Buddhist. The other one's just kind of just playing the game, per se. And what's interesting about them, over the years, I've befriended them for 8 years, teaching them English twice a month. And so various things, earthquakes or that tsunami that happened several years ago, stuff with North Korea, you know, that opens doors for conversation. And just sharing them the peace that God gives us. And it was interesting just talking about, yes, I'm physically would be afraid, you know, I don't, you know, earthquake or whatever, that's that thought of being crushed. Yeah, you know, nobody wants that. But I said, I know my peace is, I know I have eternal life. I know where I'm going. And both ladies were just listening, just very intent listening. And they said, you have something we don't have. It's obvious. And, you know, once again, I was on the edge of my seat, like, okay, here we go. And I said, but this is for everybody. You know, the Bible says for all. And they both shook their heads, and then the wall went up, and they said, that's for you, and this is for us. So it's just, I don't know, you know, it's only the Holy Spirit that is going to draw them. It's not, I just keep saying the same thing over and over and over, because the gospel doesn't change, so I just say keep saying the same thing over and over until the Lord really makes it clear in their hearts and minds. So, yes, sir.
You know, when you think of Japan, you think of little ladies bowing down to their husbands, and obviously in that picture, things have changed a little bit. Sometimes being in subordination to a man can be a real stumbling block for someone that's trying to present something new. Do you come across that?
Not really. Those two ladies that came to visit me, they're in their 70s, and both of them, their marriages were set up by the family. And so now it is changing. Everybody's marrying who they want to marry. The thing with that, though, in Japan, husbands and wives go this way. Those ladies go on vacation by themselves all the time. The husbands go on vacation by themselves all the time. They don't do things together like we do. And so that gives us an opportunity to talk to them. And my prayer is, especially with the two ladies that came, that everything we've talked about, they share with their family. And so I haven't personally had any problem with that. What has been neat, when they came to the States, my students' biggest dream has been to do a homestay, which is just really staying at some American's house for 2 days. And so, okay, we'll put that, because the whole point of this trip wasn't just to be a tour guide for them and have fun, but it was to somehow, in some way, have another opportunity to share the gospel. And we had blessed, we truly did. But the Lord answered with sharing the gospel. And the Lord opened the door. We were in the Greenville area, South Carolina. My parents' former co-workers, Frank and Judy Musk, I stayed with them, but they were the ones that helped me find the homestay. And it was actually a retired missionary couple from Cameroon. They had been there 30-plus years. So it was neat because they knew how to study a language. And so Karen would just sit down with her little notepad and write Japanese words that they told her and stuff. And it was a big challenge for them because the Japanese lady's English wasn't that good. But it really, what the testimony, though, was Don and Karen's love for each other. Because those were two ladies whose marriages were put together. And they're very open about not loving their husbands and that type of thing. And they arrived on a Wednesday. They did the homestay on a Thursday, Friday. And I picked them up on a Saturday morning. But we went and did day activities. The very first day I went to pick them up after they'd been in the house, they could not stop talking about how Don picked up this plate from the table and took it to the sink and helped Karen and all this. They just couldn't stop talking about it. But that was a neat thing because we started talking about, in the car, speaking the truth. And I said, well, you know, the Bible says we can speak the truth in love. And the one lady who was a very uncharacteristic for a Japanese lady, very aggressive, she's like, yeah, we can do that. That makes sense, you know. And I said, it has to be kind, but we can tell the truth in love. And we started talking about love. And I said, now, you guys keep talking about Don and Karen. I said, you know, the Bible talks about a marriage and how it should be done. It does. I said, yeah. And I said, you know, it talks about how the husband is to love the wife and the wife is to submit and all that. And I said, but before even that, it says talking about submitting to each other. And I said, so what you're seeing from Don and Karen is their love for God in demonstrating those verses. Oh. And so just little different things. They wanted to come. They were there on a Sunday and Wednesday, and they wanted to come at one point and see my job. Can we come see your job? Yeah, absolutely, you know, come to church. And they decided to come on a Wednesday night, and Mrs. Musk was my parents' former coworker. She came and joined them so I could do my thing while, you know, she could translate for them and everything. And the Lord just used that entire night. Unbeknownst to me, they're asking Mrs. Musk questions, and she's witnessing to them the whole night. And that just got the ball rolling. So that whole week, were things frustrating? Absolutely. The one lady, I think, was literally going through culture shock. She thought there would be a taxi everywhere. And just like, do you see a taxi? But just very pushy, very uncharacteristic. But she was the one who was asking so many questions. So I'm not sure how the Lord's going to bring that friendship along. It was just very interesting. So when I go back, we'll see what the Lord has in that area. But back to that question of two ladies that were, you know, put together by their family for their husbands, and they saw a difference in the state. Some of it we would just think was normal, but they, you know, so Don and Karen took it to another level. And that just living their life for Christ was a huge testimony.
As well, as far as the law and the government, are Christians free to worship how they want or mm-hmm. the persecution?
Yeah, no problems at all. We can put tracts in mailboxes. The one picture you saw with the Indian lady and her little girl, that's what we were doing, passing out tracts and things like that. So, yes, sir.
One more question. We live in an international world where what happens over there, we hear about what happens here. In your opinion, has the United States became a hindrance to the... Because we're here because we're in this country because of the grace of God and what He's done. I believe because earlier we honored the Word of God. Has that testimony sunk or has it stayed the same, or is there a testimony per se?
They still think all Americans are Christians. They don't understand the differences. They are fascinated with America, with the American culture, with the British culture. Japan, in some ways, just a political stuff, is some way like America, where Indonesian, Philippines, Thai, Vietnamese, they're all trying to get into Japan and get a better life. And so Japan, in some ways, is starting to become a melting pot in some ways, but they're fighting against that. And so they're very nice people, but they can be very racist, and especially towards the Filipinos and the Brazilians. And it is sad. But they don't understand our political, our government, our setup and everything. Theirs is more set up like in a British way with the parliament and stuff. They can only vote for their local people, and that's all they vote for, and it can't go beyond that. So they don't understand the freedoms that we have. And our minds, it is completely opposite. Our thinking is completely opposite. And but I'm kind of curious to go back to Japan and see with some of the things that have been changing, especially with President Trump having that meeting with Kim Jong-un, how they think about that. Because at first, I have to tell you the story. They were so afraid of him. They thought he was walking around with his briefcase that had a button in it, and he could just blow the world up. I think they saw it on a TV show. And last February, I had a friend visiting from the States, and we were outside of town. We were mountain climbing. And people that passed, his word got up that two foreigners were going up the mountain. Well, this first guy comes down and goes, "Oh, you're the people from Europe we've been hearing about." Said, "No, no, I'm not from Europe, you know, I'm American." And then the second one came down and said, "Oh, you're the lady from Spain." I said, "No, no, I'm not Spanish, I'm American." And then the third lady came down and goes, "Oh, you're the lady from Italy everybody's talking about." I'm like, "No, I'm from America." And she goes, "Trumpu, Trumpu, skinny, skinny, skinny." And she literally turned around, ran away from me and went running down the mountain. I'm just like, "What just happened?" But that is, they're very afraid of them. And, but the thing with the Japanese, though, the thing that you see differently, after the war, they really changed. They are not what they were prior to the war. They will believe anything, hook, line, and sinker, that comes down from the top. Wow. So anything that comes negative out of America is what they hear. And, they definitely have the very liberal news source. So it's, you know, so they can't understand a lot of the things that happen. They don't understand how big America is. That was one thing, the one Japanese lady, first day in the States, she's looking at, remember, just on the East Coast, Greenville. "Wow, America is so big. Wow. What were we thinking during the war to think that we would win? We were stupid." I mean, she just was going on and on. "Why would we ever think we could win? Look how big the Americans are," you know? Just so it just, their concept is literally what only what they're being told.